I think you must have just been awestruck by you wonderful people that are out there. But he sang a little bit, that last verse. All right. I praise the Lord for the opportunity to sing with my family. It is a tremendous blessing. And I look forward to more of it in the coming days. And get to sing with my sons and daughters, and we can do some different things. Not that we're anything great, but it's just a blessing to be able to do that. And so, quite a blessing. All right, let's go ahead, and we're going to continue on. We're not quite ready. I know it's December. I don't have a Christmas message yet. Maybe next week we'll see what God does. But I want to look at another message concerning striving together as we move forward. Very practical message this morning. And so if you could take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2, we look at the beginning of the church in the first couple chapters of Acts. Really, the church started with Christ, of course, and he laid the foundation with his apostles, his disciples, and he gave them his mission. And, of course, upon these apostles, he would build his church, and he did. And Jesus Christ would be the chief cornerstone. He would be the head, and he certainly was, as he invested himself in these 12 men for 18 months. He gave himself completely to these guys, who then, of course, they went out after Jesus. Of course, he went to the cross. He died, was in the tomb for 3 days, and then he triumphantly rose again that third day. And I'm so grateful that he rose that third day and that he didn't stay in the grave, because I tell you, all that he had done, if there was no resurrection, then honestly the cross didn't really mean a whole lot to us. The cross means a lot, but the resurrection completes that. He rose from the dead and he is living for us, and that means we have life as well. Life with him forever in eternity in heaven. And so I thank the Lord for his resurrection. But before he ascended up into heaven, he gave all those disciples that he had around him kind of a commission. He gave them some instructions that they were to go and wait for the gifting of the Holy Ghost. They didn't exactly know what they were going to waiting for, but they would go and wait, and he would come to them, and he did through the Holy Spirit. And then he came upon them and kind of commissioned and ordained and gave them the power to go out and to begin the workings of the church, kind of the manifestation of it, already started in thought and plan, but really put to the action in the book of Acts. What I want you to see is a specific phrase from Acts. We're going to see it in chapter 2. We're going to see it throughout Acts. In fact, I had in my notes to read all the different times it was used, but it would have taken a long time to do it. And I feel like there's more things to do. So I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to see this important phrase mentioned here. Again, not the first time, but certainly an important time. So we're here, and these disciples are gathered together. They're waiting for this time to come. And we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost, 50 days after, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." I want to look at this phrase, "with one accord." I think this is a tremendous little phrase that is listed here and in the book of Acts many, many times, "with one accord." Let me ask you the question, what does it mean? What does the word "with one accord" mean? We have a Greek word here, and the Greek word is homothumadon, okay? That's a mouthful. You say, "I'm not going to remember that one, Pastor." That's okay. You don't need to remember that, but it's homothumadon. What does this word mean, this Greek word? I'll give you the literal interpretation first. Very literally, down to earth to us, literally it's to rush along in unison. To rush along in unison. Now, all parts of this definition are important. To rush along, it means there's a goal ahead. You're moving together. It's to rush along, but in unison. So it's a bunch of particles rushing along all together. The best thing that I think of, the closest thing that I think of a rushing stream that is going. And the stream is comprised of what? All kinds of individual parts of water, right? We have droplets of water. What makes a stream is all these parts coming together, and we know that they're rushing along, and the purpose is to accomplish something. They're rushing along in unison. That is a literal meaning of the word accord. But let's get back to a little bit more of the defining aspect of it. That's literally what it means to rush along in unison. But it means to have one mind. It means to have one passion, or if I could say one focus, one driving thing that all of these parts have in common. There's one thing that drives every one of these little parts to rush along together. A common mind, a common passion. You know, the word is almost musical, isn't it? In fact, it is. You know, in accord, and that's together. But almost musical as a concert under the direction of a concert master, accomplishing something. It's togetherness amidst variableness. Togetherness amidst variableness. One thing that's so unique about the body of Christ is that every body part is made uniquely, differently, different giftings, gifted talents, or different talents, different personalities, different functions, different jobs, different parts brought together in unison and rushing along for a specific purpose. This is the word that we have in one, or with one accord. Back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What does that tell us about this group of 120 disciples? They had a common mind. They had a common bond, and that was Jesus Christ. They were, if we could loosely say, Christians. Okay, in Antioch they were first called Christians, but we know these were people that were Christ's disciples. They had one mind, but they also had one passion. And that was what God had for them. And honestly, they didn't really know what all this was, but they knew that they wanted to follow Christ. They knew that he was their leader and that he had something for them to do. And he had given that to them in the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Okay? Chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. So this word accord. I want you to now take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 2 and the end of the chapter. Let's look at verses 46 and, well, we're going to actually look at verses 42 through the end of the chapter, 42 to 47, but I want you to focus on verses 46 and 47. We're looking at this phrase, with one accord, and I think this is going to help us as we strive together thinking about the differences of everybody, because it doesn't take us long to look across our congregation and say, there's a lot of different people here, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different, even religious backgrounds. A lot of different personalities, for sure. A lot of different giftings and ways in which we do things, which that itself is a study that we need to do, and how God has gifted us differently so that we can understand why this guy or this lady is doing this and why they're motivated to serve that way. And yet we're motivated maybe in a different way. I think that's all of the Lord. The Lord motivates us differently so that the whole work can be done and can be accomplished. And so, another thing that we'll need to talk about here sometime soon. This phrase, with one accord. Looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And they, that's this church, this body, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I think that it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for you to see that verses 46 and 47 is a group of individuals that are striving together. Would you agree? Does it seem like these people are striving? And remember, this striving, this sunathaleo, this locking arms together in defense, but also in offense, to go ahead together so that a specific goal and mission could be accomplished. And we know that's Christ's mission. And it says here, I mean, it's not too hard to read through those two verses and say, boy, this group seems to have one mind. They do seem to have one passion, one goal. They have so much care about what Christ's body is that they're actually a little extreme, maybe some would say. continuing daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. What's the result of this striving together, this attitude of, I want to join arms with my brothers and sisters? What's the result even in this passage? Adding daily. People getting saved. The mission of Christ accomplished. I submit to you this morning that it is important that Faith Bible Church press forward together, striving together with one accord. With one accord. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning, with one accord. So what was the importance to this new church that pushed them together with one accord? I want you to see, first of all, go back to verses 42 through 44. We've got to look at the whole thing after this has all taken place. A message is preached. Peter getting up in front of these people, and he preaches a sermon this day of Pentecost. And here he gives these things. And let's go back even to verse 37. He gets done preaching. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with other many words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Okay, so he preaches a message. What do we do? He says, you need to get saved. You need to trust in the Lord. And notice verse 41 now. Then they that gladly received his word, that means they got saved. They received it. They accepted it. They received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is an amazing thing here. This church, they preach a message. People get saved. They got baptized. And they became members of the church all the same day. A tremendous thought. But there's more to look at here, though. Okay, 3,000 individuals. Verse 42. And this is what they did. This is what happened when the church grew. The church grew because these people, you know, they preached the word of God. They saw it. They accepted it. They were baptized. They were added. And they grew. How did they grow? What happened? What did they do? Verse 42, and this is what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay, now those, we look at those and we think that those are three things, or four things, but it's actually just three things. In verse 42, we see the apostles' doctrine and fellowship actually are together. This is one thing that we look at, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Number two, in breaking of bread. And then number three, in prayers. Okay? And the result, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Okay, we take these verses, and I want you to see, number one, the first thing that we see, what was important to this new church that was with one accord. And we're looking at what it means to be with one accord. And I give to you the first thing, this church, the church worship was extremely important to them, church worship. This was foundational to them. Okay, they got together, they continued, first of all, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, we look at this and see that we need to be together for, in one accord, for the doctrine. That's one of the reasons why we need to continue in one accord, so that we can have the doctrine together. And that's the preaching, the teaching from God's word. Is doctrine important for a church to go on together in unity? Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine if the church had multiple doctrines, a diversity of doctrines? Oh no, we need one doctrine. We need one set of preaching and teaching that teaches the same thing. And this church, the church worship service was important. And one of the things that was important was they continued daily. They continued daily with one accord. And how did they do it? Through the preaching and teaching of his word. They continued steadfastly. That means they didn't stop. They didn't give up. They, on a continual basis, they got together to worship God, and they did it through the preaching and teaching or the doctrine of the church. That was important. That was foundational to this group of people. They said, you know, we have been saved. We're a group of people that's united in unity in Christ. We need to continue to hear the gospel. We need to hear the truth. We need to learn what God wants from us. Keep your fingers here and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 in one of the most, you know this verse probably, these couple verses. It says, is doctrine important for a church to strive together in unity? Absolutely. Is it important that we get together and be in one accord with our doctrine? Well, we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15, 16, and 17, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, in that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, this word able, it's power, to give power to, it's the source of, to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the foundational truth of this instruction that Paul gives to Timothy is you have been brought up in the Scriptures and the gospel, the Word of God, the doctrine, and that is the thing that's going to be the deliverance of people. That's going to be the deliverance. This is foundational, and this church saw that this was important. We've got to get together with the doctrine. He goes forward in verse 16, all Scripture. How much of Scripture? All of it. All of Scripture. All of Scripture, folks, we cannot throw out different parts that we say, no, well, that's not our teaching, that's not our doctrine. No, all of Scripture is our doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, what? Doctrine. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. You know, very practically, what is being said here? You know, this church went forward in unity. You know, they were striving together and they went with one accord. They were like that river moving forward, and they were moving forward with the doctrine. They took the Word of God and they moved forward with it in unison, and they learned, they studied. They made this so important to each other that they made sure that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We need to keep learning. We need to keep growing. We need to keep being fed what this Word is teaching us. All of Scripture is given to us for what? Doctrine. So that we know the truth. So that we know what we need to stand according to. Doctrine, my friends, is so important. So they continue together with doctrine. And I would submit to you as a church that we strive together, being with one accord. We need to be in unison with our doctrine through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. It ought to be an important thing in which we gather for. I ask you the question, was it important to you this morning? Was it on your mind? I wonder what's going to be preached today, and I'm eager for it. I'm hungry. I was hungry this morning for breakfast. I tend to be that way. I tend to get hungry for the next meal. I want that next meal. My mom would still joke with me that my first question, when I went to public school, my first question when she picked me up, and she drove into town every day, when I got to, she got there, she waited, we got let out of school, I came, the very first question that I asked when I jumped in the car was what? The most important thing of the day, right? What's for supper? You know, how much of the rest of my day hinged off of that? And I was either excited or, mostly excited, of course. Oh, that was so important to me. What's for supper? What's for dinner? What are we eating? You know, and I would, you know, if mom said something that I really liked, oh, it was just like, how long do we got to wait, until we eat? I know for some of you that's like, what? You know, my motto has changed. It used to be, live to eat. Now it's eat to live, and so I wish that I could do that. But I live that way. It's like what I wanted. We joke about that. But I wonder how much of us, this phrase, striving together and with one accord means it's a rushing along for something. And one of the things that they rushed along with was this doctrine. I believe with all my heart, based on what is given here, that these people were hungry for God's Word. They were hungry to receive the next truth, to see how God wanted them to live, to see how they would go forward. My friends, the result of this hungry people, this unified with one accord people, was the result of many people being saved. But I wonder if we are rushing along together for the doctrine, for the teaching of God's word that's so important to the church, so important to us. Is it important to us? Church worship was important, and certainly one of those aspects was the doctrine. But there was more than just the doctrine. So let's go to church this morning so that we can hear God's word. And by the way, that is one of the main reasons why we come this morning, but it's not the only reason. He said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And fellowship. You know, fellowship started with this, with the disciples spending time with the Lord, and especially at the love feast. You know, Jesus Christ put a lot of time into these men. He would spend time, and we learned in Sunday school this morning, that is a tremendous element for discipleship, is spending time with leader and follower. It's so important. And in Sunday school, I hope, was a blessing to you this morning as we learned that it's so important to be together and to learn and glean all that we can from leadership that God has given to us and from God Himself. And we see that it's important to get all that from God's Word. But I'll tell you, there's more than just in the worship service than just the doctrine. And I find it interesting that in the Greek, it's linked together. It was doctrine and fellowship. A lot of churches will get together and the main thrust, and it ought to be the main thrust, is that doctrine, but the fellowship is not so important. But it's interesting in this passage, it's in the same thing. It's not divided up. It's doctrine and fellowship. You know what was given there? It's given there that they got together and they spent time not only hearing the word of God, but they spoke of it. They talked about it. They got together for encouragement. A lot of times as a church, we get together, we hear the word of God, and the doors are, you know, the prayer is, the amen is said, the prayers are given, and phew. Folks, I want to tell you that that's not the way it was. Now, they got together for doctrine and fellowship. This was what they strove together with one accord. They wanted to be rushing together in unity with the fellowship that they could have. And it started with these disciples spending so much time at this love feast where they could recline and they could talk to each other, and Jesus there and breaking the bread and passing it along and them eating, and they spoke together, they talked together, they encouraged together. They spent this quality time together. And the heart of the Lord and His followers were knit so close together by a deep sense of love and commitment and help to each other. And I'll tell you, that commitment continued on after Jesus Christ died. They continued to spend time together. You know, back in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I submit to you that this first church that got together, fellowship together. They spent time together. And in fact, we read that they spent time together daily. If you go back down to verse 46, they continued daily with one accord. Now this was in the temple, which, by the way, we could go back to that first thing. This is the worship. By the way, we're going to divide up what we're looking at here. The first section is how they worshiped. Worship was important to them. I believe this part is within the church. I think the second part is kind of outside the church. Now, they had house churches to start off with, and there was a congregation at this house and this house, but it was very interesting. I think there's a division here that they fellowshipped not only within the church, but it was on a daily basis. They got together and did some of this stuff anyway, besides this formalized worship together. They got together for fellowship, and they spent a lot of time together. Verse 44 says, and all that believed were what? Together. They were together and had all things in common. So they spent this time together. They got together at church, and they heard the doctrine, and they fellowshipped, and it was a normal thing. I love when I drive by churches. Now, again, it doesn't mean that I'm in favor of those churches and what they're doing and what the message they're preaching, but I think a great sign of a church when you drive by it is when you see cars out there. Because what does that mean? There's something going on, and they're together. These people are working together. That's what it means. They were with one accord. They were worshiping together. They were living their lives together. They were listening to the doctrine. They were learning the doctrine, and they were fellowshipping together. We err. And I'll tell you, the end result is that the church would grow. A church that's divided is not going to grow. We've got to be together. This ought to be a stream, not droplets of water. Rushing together in doctrine. Rushing together in fellowship. They continued with the doctrine. They continued with the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship. What is the basis of a church's fellowship? Who is the basis? Jesus Christ is the basis. You know what? One of the amazing things when these people got saved and other people got saved, they had something to bond themselves together with. You're a Christian. You're a Christian too. And I have seen the light. And I have seen the light. And the light has come to them, and we see the light. And I'll tell you what, they were enamored with us. I wonder how enamored we are to find another Christian to celebrate with. To celebrate with. First John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? One with another. When God means a lot to us and we're walking in the light, what will mean a lot to each other is that I'm with you. I want to be with you. I want to go together with you. I want to strive together with you. One of the highlights of your week is when the body of Christ gets together. It ought to be. We ought to love each other, not only in doctrine, but also fellowship. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That was the common bond that we see in Acts. These people had, and they were fired up about it. They were excited about it. And they wanted to be together. My friend, are you excited to be together with God's body? Or is it one of these things like, I got to go again. There's something wrong. I trust that our church would be one that would desire to be together in fellowship. The third thing, we see this in church. Worship, the doctrine, the fellowship. And the third element, prayers. Prayers were given. I think very quickly of the church that was gathered together. Yes, in a home. They were gathered together in Acts chapter 12. Peter was in prison, and what were they doing? They didn't have a lot of faith that he would be delivered, but that's beside the point right now. They were praying. They didn't have much faith, but they were praying. Did God answer their prayers? He did. And knock, knock, knock at the door. Who's there? Peter? No way. But you know what? These people, they put a big emphasis in one accord with prayer. Prayer was so important to this first group of people. Doctrine was important. We've got to get together and get the preaching and teaching. Question, are you excited about getting the preaching and teaching from God's word? Although these people went with one accord with fellowship, they were excited about being with God's people. Are you excited about being with God's people? Thirdly, they were excited to get together in one accord. They would come together and bring their requests and make them known to the Lord and say, God, we need you to do something. You see, that was the worship that took place in this early church. What did they go with one accord together in? With the worship service. My friends, if we want to see God grow our church, we need to strive together with one accord in the worship service. This ought to be a unit right here that we are excited about worship. We're excited to get together and drive our vehicles in here and park and come in and I'm with the body of Christ now. I'm with the body of Christ. It's challenging to think through that. Very challenging. So the worship service was very important to these people. And I give you three aspects of that worship service. But I'll tell you, there was something more that we see in Acts chapter 2 that was very much important to them as well than what happened right within the confines of this building. And that was what happened without. And that was seeing people's needs in their everyday lives and meeting them. Let's go to the next thing. Need meeting was very important. Need meeting. Look at verse 45, Acts chapter 2, verse 45. We see them coming together and doing these things in the worship service. And then it says in verse 45, well, at the end of verse 44, it says, and had all things in common, and this is what they did. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man had need. We get this illustration in chapter 4 and 5. In fact, keep your finger here and go to chapter 4. The end of chapter 4. And we're not going to really look at the beginning of chapter 5. Chapter 5 being the story of Ananias and Sapphira. But we could look at this passage. And in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Okay, so again, we're preaching and wow, what is God doing here? And great grace, the great grace of God was on all these people. "And so, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet." Notice that they took them to the apostles and laid them at the apostles' feet, "and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And then, of course, there's the example of Barnabas and Joseph by the apostle, who by the apostle Apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, does this sound like socialism? No, it's not. He didn't say that everybody in the entire congregation had to give up everything and divide it up among everybody. What happened? Those that God had blessed more, those that God had given much more, they didn't have to. It wasn't a rule of the church. They wanted to. They saw people that didn't have much. They saw a need. And I'll tell you, we read over and over and over this group of people that they looked. Again, there was no rule. Faith Bible Church, I want you this week to go and sell everything that you have. And next week we're going to get it. And we are going to have tables out there. And what you see that you need, you get. But it's not what he said. People desired on their own. They said, you know, there's some people over here. And where does all this come from? Where does all this come from? I'll tell you, it's what we've gone through before. As they identified their brothers. You see, this is where we have it all wrong. Other Christians excited them. This was new. God has done something for me. He has shown me the truth. He has shown me that he's the answer. He's shown me that he's the way. And my life has changed. And wait a second, you learned this too? And they got excited. You are a Christian also? Boy, brother, you know, we're together on this. We have Christ and we can worship together and we can go to church together and we can sing together and we can give together and we can do all this together. And they were so excited together that naturally when they saw that brother and sister so-and-so, well, you're struggling with this? Listen, God has blessed me. I want to give to you. I want to tell you something, that giving with a heart like this comes natural from the cross. Giving like this comes natural for the church when they look to the cross, which we are going to do tonight. When we truly are excited about what Jesus or what God the Father shared with us, then it compels us to share with our brothers. That's exactly what God did through the cross. He sent his son Jesus Christ to do what? To share eternal life with all of us. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to have this. Who would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's Jesus Christ. That's God who would have all men. He wants everybody, and he shares it with everybody. He wants all men. Come and take. Come and receive. Please come and fill your cup. Would you take from me what I want to give to you? That was the attitude of the cross. That was the attitude of the early church. That ought to be the attitude of Faith Bible Church. I want to be a blessing. By the way, what we have is whose? It is God's. You know, I'm so quick to look at my own funds and finances and say, these are mine. I worked for them. See, the reason why it's so hard for us to take on this is because we are holding on to what we have earned. And what have we earned? Hell. Period. That's what we deserve. And anything on top of that that God gives us is His grace. His grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, way down there, but now I am found. You see this? I did this for a purpose. Lost, found. Blind, and now I see. You know the practical application for us as Christians? We cannot save people, can we? I have no ability to save you from the pit of hell. I can introduce you to one that can. But do you know how I can practically demonstrate the cross of Christ to you? To give of grace. The gift of grace. Giving to brothers and to sisters. The need. You see that? I have, and I want to help. I want to help you. This is the cross. That's the message of the cross. No wonder when the people heard the preaching of the cross from Peter. No wonder when they heard Peter and John speak. No wonder when they heard the cross that the main outcome of that was giving. Because that is the message of the cross. It's giving. My friends, I tell you that this was important. And they strove together. They moved on, rushing with one accord in their blessing other people. Meeting needs in their congregation. Meeting needs. And Barnabas was a good example of this. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Even clearer instruction. Here we see the example, but clearer instruction to the brotherhood. This is the church. 1 John is written to save people. This is really a message written to us. How do we act within the church? He says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's goods, okay, look up here. Whoso hath this world's goods, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. Up here again. Whoso hath this world's goods seeth his brother that has need. Okay, you follow that. Remember, this is the message of the cross. Seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Let me ask you a question. Go back to the illustration of the cross. God, Jesus Christ, coming down to meet our lowly need. Can you imagine if God looked down and saw it? Said, no. I have what it takes, but I will not. How dwells love in him? Would that be love? But he did. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's grace. See the picture? There's the picture of the cross. And notice what John says here. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There is no love of God when you shut your bowels of compassion off. It was true with salvation and his grace from the cross, and it's true for us as Christians. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. But what? In deed and in truth. In deed and in truth. These people, the worship service was so important, and the doctrine, oh, we've got to have the doctrine. The fellowship was so important, and we need to have this, you know, we need to fellowship together. The breaking of bread together, that eating, and we'll talk about eating a little bit more outside the church, but the fellowship. The prayers. Oh, we've got to get together. This is an important thing. We've got to get together and pray. Oh, but we've got to go together in one accord and we've got to meet everybody's needs. Folks, it should be our heartbeat to be burden bearers. I mentioned that this morning. It should be our heartbeat to be burden bearers. I am looking and praying for who can I be a blessing to today? How can I help? Because that's the heartbeat. That's what it means to strive together with one accord. With one accord. All together. Listen, we're in this all together, folks. It's not man for himself. It's not that family for himself. That it goes against the world's philosophy. Or that goes against God's philosophy. That goes with the world's philosophy. Man with himself. No, let's join in and be a part together with one accord. I want you to see a third thing here, fellowship. Now, this is outside the church. Notice, he talks about fellowship. He talks about fellowship. I guess I need to get back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. In chapter 2 in verse 42, we see this in church. Okay, so they got together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread, and in prayers. And then, okay, we have this verse 45, talks about their selling and parting to all men as he had need. And verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. But then he says, and here's why I break it up, because there's the temple worship. And then he said, and breaking bread from house to house. Now, we could talk about this thing. Was this house church? Was this something that just happened every day outside the church? And it's hard to say, but I want you to notice, the main thing that I want you to see, though, is that he said, okay, so they continued, you know, daily with one accord in the temple. But then he says, and, as a different thing, it's broken up here, and breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Fellowship to these people, whether in the church or outside the church, was important, and it was a daily thing. They got together a lot. We're looking at the element of time. Time and fellowship. Time was important to these people. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and daily in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, we talk about that eating, breaking bread. And by the way, there's a hard distinction there. Sometimes they broke bread and it was talking about the Lord's table. Sometimes it was a love feast and where they ate. But understand, though, that when he says breaking bread, he's not always talking about the Lord's table. He's talking about eating. And I find it, you know, we in our church, sometimes we look so down on eating together. I'm telling you, we look at it and we say, you know, why do we get together and eat? Now, I understand that I'm not all about us, you know, everybody in the church service, you know, bringing your breakfast and sitting here over some tables and having and preaching and teaching. I don't believe that. But I'll tell you what, it is interesting that these people, once the church was broken and they went out, or whether they did before or after, I don't know, but they got together and they ate. You say, what is so spiritual about eating? I don't know, but it was done all the time around these people and these Christians. They got together and they ate. Because I believe one of the things is eating is there's fellowship involved. They get together and they spend close time together. You know, you want to spend time with people, what do you do sometimes? You just invite them over for a meal. And over the meal, you do what? You talk, you have fellowship, you encourage one another. They ate, they broke bread one with another, all with each other. You know what? It says from house to house. There was a variety of houses that was going on and they were spending time with each other. Oh, I have a burden that I wish that we did that. I wish that we spent time together. I wish that we invited people over to our homes and we had people here and had people there and people were constantly coming through. But not just one person, but that we were all doing it, getting together. That's what it means to be with one accord. That's what this first church did. They were together. They were not apart. And it says that they were joyful together in and because of their common bond. I really believe that was what... We're together because of Christ. Look what we have. We have found him. They didn't get together and talk about all the worldly things that they had going on. They got together because they were excited about what Jesus had done for them. Praising God. Even in verse 47, praising God. You know, we ought to praise the Lord when we get together one with another. Time was important to these people. Did you hear that? Time was important. And I submit time with each other was and is and should be extremely important to not only the early church, but to us. Time. You say, I have work. You know what? That's kind of inevitable, isn't it? We have to work. And I know that work gets in the way. But even within our work, if Christ is our... Everyone, please follow this as we make some conclusions here in the end. Time was important to these people. Even when choosing our jobs, and I know some of us don't have choices, we do our best, we get them. We need to do everything we can to make sure that we have time for the most important things. And if there's a job that is taking us away from what Jesus Christ died for, my friend, I say that we've got to be praying that God would deliver us and give us something that we could spend time with God's people. I do not believe that God intends for us to miss because of our work all the time. Yeah, there's going to be some jobs we have to miss sometimes. But I believe that God would make a way for us so that we could be here with God's people because it is super important. Time, but our work, you know, we get extracurricular activities that we do and pull us away from church. My brothers, I'm going to tell you something. What's the priority? Other things that pull us away, entertainments that keep us from God's people. I'm not just talking about church here. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about daily with each other. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about getting together to eat. I'm talking about getting on the phone. I'm talking about sending notes to each other. What's getting in the way? It's our work. It's our extracurricular activities. It's our entertainments. I would submit to you that it's our technologies today. Our technologies are getting in the way from us contacting other people. And I'll tell you, this is something that I've recently thought through. It's amazing what the media, the social media, and all the technology has done. Would you agree that it's brought the world to our hands? It has. And what's so amazing, and I'm not saying whether it's good, in some ways it's kind of neat, but we can be anywhere in the world almost and connect with somebody. And so what does that promote? That promotes getting together with other people. And I want to tell you something, that is a blessing to be able to contact a missionary or to talk to, you know, somebody. You might have relatives in another country or part of the world. You know, and for part of me that says that is very neat. But now follow me when I say this. But I think that there's a detriment here because I can communicate with so many people now. Right? Do you know who a lot of this communication is keeping me from, though? People that are right here. I want you to think just for a moment, before you could get on your phone and pull it out and within a few seconds be connected to Africa, you couldn't do it, right? Now again, I count it a privilege that I can call a missionary over in Uganda. I think that's a blessing. But this is where our world is going because we have so much communication, and many of us do. We have so much communication because I used to have to drive to Wyoming to talk to somebody or write a letter and send it through snail mail. I used to have to do that. And so therefore, I didn't really take a ton of time doing that because it was inconvenient. I couldn't do that all the time. We just put that focus on, okay, we're Christmas, we're driving out there and we're going to spend our time. But now, at any time of the day, I can do this. And I can be talking with them. And what we've done, because it's so convenient, is now that's what we do a lot of. We're going to call. We're going to Skype. And by the way, I'm not preaching against any of these things. I use them. And I'm thankful that our kids can see Grammy and Grampy every once in a while in Wyoming because we don't get out there very often. I'm thankful for the use of technology to do that. It's a blessing. But I'll tell you what, we need to be very, very, very careful because when we used to not be able to go, what did we have to do in order to have fellowship? Get with God's people. But now we don't need God's people really because I'm in a network with 155 other friends or 200 or 1,000 or 5,000. It's amazing. I don't know it because I don't really do it. But it's amazing how many friends and people that we have that we communicate with. And I just ask you the question, is it sucking us out of the fellowship with God's people? Because I don't no longer need God's people. I don't need Faith Bible Church anymore. Because I've got all kinds of other Christians everywhere in the world. Do you see the error? We need to be very careful. I'm not saying to not use that. I think it can be a good tool. But if it's getting in the way, if now I'm absolutely fine with not getting together with my church, because I can get together on social media with all kinds of other Christians, I believe it is wrong. God's heart is that we go together in unity like a rushing river together. Together. Do you need your brothers and sisters that are around you right here? Now, the truth is you do, but personally, do you need them, or do you say, Pastor, I'm okay without them? For your doctrine, for your prayer, for your fellowship, for your spending time with each other? Do you need each other? God says, he has a phrase for it. What is it? With one accord. That's the way it ought to be. And it ought to be right here. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to strive together in one accord? Lord, today we live in a day where we can get preaching and teaching off the internet. We can read articles. We can have our people that we follow with doctrine. We can have our people that we pray with, a network of people around the world. God, today we can fellowship with anybody and everybody and have coffee dates with people across the world or whatever we do. Lord, would you help us to realize that we need people right here? We need to be spending time with our brothers and sisters that live across town or across the way that come to our church. God, would you help us that we would spend time with the people right here? God, that we would strive together with one accord. Please help us to need each other this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.